Jim Fursley and Simply the Gospel.
Thanks, Jim. Man. Praise the Lord. That last hour was just incredible.
Flew by.
Amazing. I hope for our listeners it's as much of a blessing for them as it is for us. Amen. Because we get to look in amazement.
I needed that. I needed the last hour. I really did.
I did too. Because when we're as servants of the Lord, we become very tired. Sometimes we don't even think about ourselves in that way.
Yeah.
And how a servant of Christ is a servant of Christ, proven that because he serves or she serves other people.
Man. And something that George said early in the last hour is, if you're looking for success, ministry is not the place for you. Sometimes when you don't see people walk down that aisle, or when you don't see fruits of how hard it's been, you have the think of, am I doing any good?
Yeah.
Has the Lord called me to the right thing?
Yeah.
Am I doing what the Lord and I needed to hear that this morning. I did.
That was so good. It was just a great hour. Praise the Lord. Well, I think this next 15 minutes will be helpful as we look at the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. And I think for our encouragement, just as you said, Jim, sometimes we see the work that we're involved in, or we see the ministry we're participating in. We don't see fruit. We don't see people coming. And then the next thing, you know, we're trying our very hardest to come up with different schemes and different ways in order to make it successful. There's nothing wrong with planning, but we have to be very careful, make sure it's sanctified planning that we've put under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing His Spirit to do the work. We need not get into a panic mode. I've been there as a pastor. You've probably been there in a music ministry where it's like, oh, people aren't showing up. What kind of new thing are we going to have to do? Well, I'll tell you the one thing I know we must do is to pray. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, this is what the scripture has to say. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. Which I think is neat, because we oftentimes want to, and Paul's going to talk about, we'll make a big deal out of the most visible parts of the body, and we minimize or we even mock and make fun of the parts that we don't see. Mm-hmm. And we can have that same attitude when it comes to the body of Christ, because we're oftentimes very modest and we treat other parts with modesty, even in the church of Jesus Christ. Yet, remembering it's one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Our unity comes through the Holy Spirit. We're baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 3, I'm going to read that for us. It's important as we think about this, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. Look what he says.
Where are you going again, Jim?
Ephesians 4,
okay.
Verses 1 through, we'll read a few verses starting at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you, again, command, please.
Beseech.
I beseech, command, please, you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
The unity. The way it ought to be.
The way it ought to be, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to remember that regarding shalom. Mm-hmm. The way it ought to be. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, through the power of God who makes things the way it ought to be. Things the way they ought to be. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And it's through the Holy Spirit, the bond of peace, our unity is we're bound in the Spirit through the Holy Spirit. Keeping that peace, it should be our effort, keeping that as the way God intended it to be, the way God is making it to be, for the edification of the body, the building up of the body. We know the Spirit of God is at work when we're growing in our faith, not just me alone, but when we together, it's almost as one man with one set of eyes looking only unto Jesus and beholding the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, everybody's not running around with different agendas, but there's one agenda. And there can be many ministries, mm-hmm. but one agenda.
Right.
As we want to behold God in all his glory. I think that's why at Sovereign Christ it's so easy for us to, for me anyway, because it's simple. We behold the radiance of the glory of God in everything we do, right?
I was going to say, Jim, what is every week when you finish this segment, you always say Sovereign Christ is what?
Yeah, well, we exist to behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, Amen. That others might behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, that others might. Mm. And I don't even know how that's going to play out. We don't have a lot of people, but one thing we do together is we make it our ambition to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of shalom, and God has made things the way they're supposed to be mm-hmm. through Jesus Christ. So we look unto him. Ministries vary. The approach to ministry varies, but our view is the same. We try very hard to see Jesus more clearly, to look at who God is through seeing the face of Jesus Christ as he's revealed himself in Scripture. Makes things simple.
Amen.
Very, very simple, and keeps us on task. Because if it doesn't cause us, if somehow our vision begins shifting to other things,
right.
we don't have to scold everybody. It's, hey, everyone, let's get back on track.
Let's put back our eyes back where those fields should be.
Yeah, and because looking at Christ is a delightful thing. Have you ever been driving around, say, Brown County State Park, and you come to one of those vistas, and you see, let's just make it, in this case, everybody in the car is looking at their iPhones or their phones. And you're like, hey, everyone, look at the vista, look at the vista, look at the view, look at the view. You know, and you do that.
And everybody panics because they didn't see it.
So hopefully you're calling their attention right as you get there. But it's a pleasant thing. I mean, there have been times when my children were young, I'm like, look at the window. And I'm getting so excited and they're thinking I'm mad at them.
Right.
That's not what I intended to communicate at all.
Right.
But sometimes we can get really rough.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of urging people, commanding, please, look at Christ. Let's look at him. Let's see him. Let's not miss him. Let's not get caught up in the phone or whatever other little trinket we might put in mm-hmm. front of ourselves. Let's look to him. Let's not get caught up in a coat ministry or food ministry or something else. Let's look to Jesus first, and then we enjoy this together.
Right.
I don't have to do those other ministries with everybody else, and they don't have to do what I do, but we're looking only unto Jesus.
Right.
And I don't have to yell at anybody. They don't have to yell at me. It's like, oh, you're losing sight. You know, so I think of one thing I've been preaching on through James, and James is a hard book on one hand when you look at it, just if you just read it for the words alone, but if you take the spirit of the letter, James is very pastoral. He's not wanting them to miss the vista. He doesn't want them to miss the view of seeing the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, he doesn't say that in the letter, but his point is always to point people to Jesus.
Christ,
don't miss him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get this part last Sunday, and I'm going to cover it again this Sunday, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, where he commands the church, stop slandering one another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, slander is where you're eviscerating someone's reputation, murder by slander. Well, again, we can get really rough if we wanted to and just cut people to ribbons about it. But we can also say, look, the reason we don't slander, number one, because it tells us where our heart is. If we're more concerned about destroying someone than we are building them up, we're not keeping our minds on the things of the kingdom. We're not then beholding. And so the work of the Spirit would be through that passage is to call us to repent from slander, because we're tearing down instead of building up.
Yeah.
Building up that we might behold.
Mm.
And I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church, as we've just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, so it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit. And that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not going to be dividing us, but unifying us under the banner of Jesus Christ. So that's the primary work in the church of the Holy Spirit, is not to that we would exalt and praise the Holy Spirit, as although we can pray to the Holy Spirit, that we might know God better and that we might see Jesus more clearly and love him more. We can praise God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit's work, according to the Lord, and we'll look at some verses as we go through this series on the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, the work of the Spirit is to bring glory to the Father and the Son. He doesn't exist that we would just look at him only.
Right.
So when we say we got to define the church, when we say the church, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit in the church, we speak of a unique assembly of people of all the peoples on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. It is a unique group of people. Mm-hmm. It's a divinely assembled group of people, people that once were far off that didn't even have in mind the things of God, that have been brought near to God through the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. This work being the work of regeneration, giving a people who were dead in trespasses and sins, who were blind, who were not righteous in any way, didn't have any care for God whatsoever, giving them a new heart and a new spirit, that they might behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
It all goes back to him.
It does.
It has to.
I'm forgiven, mm-hmm, that I might be able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to have fellowship with God.
Right.
And that fellowship with him isn't me being like a comrade in arms with God,
right,
but it's me having fellowship to be in his courts, mm-hmm, in his presence, mm-hmm, beholding, looking, going, whoa, God is awesome. Worshiping God is showing him his worth. Mm-hmm. And we praise him for his worth. As we look at Jesus Christ, we can see God's grace. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That should cause us then to have an interest in who is Jesus Christ. If he is the revelation of the love of God, then I need to know. I want to know God by seeing this revelation of his love in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that ability. He gives us a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. That is, we can receive the things of God now, whereas before we couldn't. You know, you said your radio in your car isn't working.
Right.
So it's impossible for that radio to tune in.
Right.
To anything. But if you put the right part in there, whatever it takes to fix it, let's make it that whatever it is.
It's the antenna.
Okay, so the receiver's, yep, broken. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist.
Right.
It may have all the appearance of, mm-hmm, working, but something's broken. Mm-hmm. It needs to be reconnected. It needs to be connected somehow. Mm-hmm. So in us as people, the church is a divinely assembled group of people that they're assembled, literally, given a new heart and a new spirit, that they can be connected with God. Mm-hmm. Because though all of us look the same, we can walk down the street, you can't really know who is in the faith by looking.
No.
Everybody has equipment much the same. Mm-hmm. Generally, we say we have two eyes, a mouth, two ears, arms, legs. And as a general rule, that's true. But what we don't see is the disconnect in the spirit. Mm-hmm. When Adam sinned, the Bible says all sinned, and death came to all men because all sinned. So everyone was broken. So the Spirit of God begins his work in the church by first bringing people from death to life, giving a new heart and new spirit. Now, someone says, well, can I have a new heart and a new spirit and not necessarily be a Christian? The answer to that is no. Mm-mm. Because when you have your antenna connected properly, you tune in now to a message you never heard before.
Right.
Though you may have heard the words, but you didn't hear it in your soul, in your spirit, and that message is Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And then so faith comes through hearing the message. You say, aha, why didn't I see this before? Because the Spirit hadn't given you a new heart and a new spirit. Now you have a new heart and new spirit, and your mind begins engaging, and you receive the truth through faith, believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is.
Yeah.
And so the church is made up of people who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without question, Christ's work, redeeming work on the cross, but made alive through the Spirit, and that made aliveness is being made alive, to recognize him, see him, believe him, trust in him, hold fast to him, and then have fellowship with God. And we do this as we behold him and see him. So the work of the Spirit is essential in the church. Without the Spirit at work in the church, there is no church.
Yeah.
There may be buildings, facilities, and so on, gatherings, fellowships, and so on, but not the true church. The true church is unique of all the people on the face of the earth. No one can boast in and of themselves apart from the Spirit. And yet, as a church, we can say no one can call themselves sons or daughters of God except the Church of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. bought by Christ's blood, made alive through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's good news,
that's
isn't
good stuff,
it?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to hear more, I don't preach on this message every Sunday, but we do preach on, and we do encourage the saints to behold the radiance of the glory of God. And if you don't have a church home, I'd invite you to come to Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church. We meet Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. We're located at 1702 Lawton Avenue, right on the edge of scenic Noblet Park. And I would encourage you to come, where we love to make much of Jesus Christ. And thank you all for listening to Simply the Gospel. Sure appreciate it. I hope it's as much of a blessing to you to hear about the Lord Jesus as it is for me and Jim to speak of him. And may the Lord bless you all. And Jim, bless you, brother. And we look forward to seeing you on the 24th.
24th Sunday morning, 11 o'clock service, right?
11 o'clock. Yeah, I want to also say one more thing, if I can plug our website, www.sovereignchristbiblefellowship. You enter that once, usually your memory or history will remember it. Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church. You can listen to, we're currently going through James, and we have all the James messages posted.
Oh, very good.
And so there's some good stuff on that website.
Awesome. We are your good news station, WYGS.